relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Oh, that is so nice of you. Thank you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. What a pleasure it is to be with all of you. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining us here on America First. I'm Jennifer Horn, and I host the Morning Answer on AM 870, AM 590, The Answer in Southern California, all throughout Los Angeles and Orange County, into the Inland Empire and Ventura County. And it's always so much fun to hang out here with you. Now, one of the big stories of this week, this coming week, actually, at the weekend next week, will be all about Amy Coney Barrett and about the Supreme Court, about her nomination, if she be confirmed, and of course, what the retribution will be from Democrats. Will they attempt to pack the court? It was this week that Vice President Mike Pence asked Vice Presidential hopeful Kamala Harris, my senator from right here in California, whether or not Democrats would try to pack the court. Take a listen.
Your party is actually openly advocating adding seats to the Supreme Court, which has had 9 seats for 150 years, if you don't get your way. This is a classic case of if you can't win by the rules, you're going to change the rules. Now, you've refused to answer the question. Joe Biden has refused to answer the question. So I think the American people would really like to know, if Judge Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed to the Supreme Court of the United States, are you and Joe Biden, if somehow you win this election, going to pack the Supreme Court to get your way?
That was the vice president. We know Kamala Harris did not answer that question. Instead, we heard Joe Biden this week, actually yesterday, say that he wouldn't give us his opinion on court packing until after the election. This is unbelievable. Take a listen.
You'll know my opinion on court packing when the election is over. Now, look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking. But you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that. Other than focusing on what's happening now, the election has begun. There's never been a court appointment once an election's begun. What, 4 million or so people have already voted. They're denying the American people the one shot they have under constitutional law to be able to have their input.
That's all you'll talk about if I give you the answer. And the media let him get away with that. Joining us right now is Mark Chenoweth. He is the executive director of NCLA and a former chief of staff to Congressman, now Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. You've seen him all over the place. I watched you, Mark, on Fox and Friends First, Fox Business, all over Fox News and television. Mark Chenoweth, welcome to America First.
Thank you, Jennifer. Great to be with you.
It is really nice to have you, and at such an important time. First of all, I think you heard the answer from Joe Biden yesterday when he was out on the campaign trail. The media lets him get away with this. This is a real issue for American voters, whether or not Democrats will pack the court. First of all, for those that don't know what that means, tell us, Mark, what packing the court means, why it's not a great idea, and why Joe Biden really needs to answer this question.
Well, Jennifer, court packing when it comes to the Supreme Court would involve adding some number of justices to the court. And because you don't want to have an even number where the court could split, you'd have to add 2 to bring it to 11 or 4 to bring it to 13 justices, something like that. And the idea behind it would be to change the outcome of votes. It's a blatant effort. When we say packing, the idea is you're trying to get your guys on the court so that you can control the outcome of the votes there. And traditionally, the justices appointed by Democratic presidents have lined up to be more liberal justices and pretty reliably liberal justices, and I think that's what Joe Biden, or at least his allies, have in mind when they talk about court packing. And the reason it's a bad idea is because the court is supposed to defend minority rights against any sort of excesses from the majority. When the majority passes legislation, when the Congress and the president pass legislation that violates the Constitution and defends and offends, violates individual rights, that's when the court is supposed to step in and defend people. And if you try to turn the court into a majoritarian thing as well, then you've eliminated that entire constitutional protection for individual rights.
You know, I heard an interview early this morning from Senator Ted Cruz, who, as you know, has a book out about this right now. And Mark, he said, you know, what'll happen, and inevitably it will, if Democrats win the White House, if they get control in the Senate, that they will pack the court, because their no answer is clearly speaking to all of us that it is a yes. This is what they intend to do. Their activists within the party are prompting them to do this. But his point was that there will be a response from Republicans. And inevitably, when Republicans come back into power, then Republicans will have to add justices to the court. And we could see a court that is, as you mentioned, 11, 13, 15. I mean, this could go on and on and on, and to the expense of the American people.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. In fact, it's an authoritarian idea, and it's an authoritarian tactic. And I think it shouldn't be difficult for Vice President Biden or any presidential candidate to disavow the idea of packing the court. And the fact that there is an unwillingness to disavow it is very concerning. I think the other thing that we have to think about here is, even if he doesn't do it, just talking about it, just teasing the idea, is really aimed at cowing the Supreme Court and trying to deter them from doing their duty in order, famously, when FDR tried to pack the court back in the 1930s, the Congress wouldn't go along with it. But we talk about in Supreme Court history the switch in time that saved 9, because one of the justices who had been opposing a lot of the New Deal programs switched and started voting to support those New Deal programs. And that's the same sort of effect that I think Vice President Biden would be looking for here, is to try to turn one or more justices on the court who might be afraid of court packing.
Wow. Really interesting stuff. Now, next week, Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings will begin. Mark Chenoweth is our guest. He's the executive director of NCLA. That stands for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. He is also the former chief of staff of Congressman Mike Pompeo. He's been part of these things before. He's vetted Supreme Court nominees. Tell us about what you make of Amy Coney Barrett as a candidate and what you expect the hearings will look like. A lot of people are saying that it'll be tough for her, but it won't get as nasty as what Justice Kavanaugh had to go through.
I think it would be difficult for it to get as nasty as it did with Justice Kavanaugh, partly because I think even the Democrat senators who participated in that recognized that it got out of hand and was inappropriate. Maybe all of them don't, but I think enough of them do that it will not go as far down that path as last time. I also think that she has already been through this process very recently in 2017, and so a lot of the questions or concerns that they might have had were put in front of her then, and they know what she's going to say, and so I think it makes it a little more difficult for them to try to really behave in some new way here that they didn't do back in 2017. I think she's a fantastic candidate, a fantastic nominee for the Supreme Court. And her record in the last 3 years on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals reflects the approach you would expect from a scholar. She had been a law professor at Notre Dame for many years beforehand, and still teaches there, in fact, I'm told. And she has that careful, scholarly approach, exactly what you're looking for from someone on the bench. I think that she will be well within the mainstream in terms of her knowledge, her capability, and the sort of background that she brings to the U.S. Supreme Court.
When you're vetting these judges, and since you've been a part of this, Mark Chenoweth, what are they looking for as they vet someone like Amy Coney Barrett? We know she was vetted once before. She was on that list of judges that President Trump presented to the nation before his election, and certainly when he was talking about who he might pick to replace she was a runner-up, essentially. It's not a beauty contest, of course, but she was really a runner-up to Justice Kavanaugh. So what's that vetting process like?
Sure. So there's two different kinds of vetting processes that take place, and three really if you want to think about it on what happens on the Senate side. But at the Department of Justice, there's a vetting process that takes place in the Office of Legal Policy. I was in there from 2002 to 2004, so I just missed out on vetting Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito. But the process there is really looking at everything they've ever written, whether it's past opinions, if they've been a judge, or public writings that they have, if they're an academic or what have you, looking at speeches that they've given, any other kinds of public appearances that they've had, and just make sure you have a very good understanding of what this person's judicial philosophy is, what their approach to the law is, and to make sure that they are that the kinds of things that they're out there saying are not the kind of things you wouldn't want to have a judge out there saying or doing.
Sure.
At the same time, the FBI does a very thorough background check of all of these nominees or potential nominees often as well, and make sure that they don't have anything in their background.
The criminal past, right?
From a criminal perspective.
You're so interesting to talk to, Mark Chenoweth. Thank you so much for all of that information as we look ahead to next week. Executive Director of the New Civil Liberties Alliance, Mark Chenoweth. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. This is America First.
I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sebastian Gorka there. I am Jennifer Horn. So honored to be filling in, staying with you guys today on America First. We thank you for joining us and remind you to go to SebGorka.com. Follow Seb on Twitter. You'll be able to see him in a really cool American flag face mask as he walks through what I think could be an airport. He's going to an undisclosed location. You can see that all at SebGorka.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Horn and Facebook as well, the whole nine yards. We're on all those social media platforms. Now, earlier today, there was a big news announcement from President Trump. His doctor, Dr. Sean Connolly, who is the White House physician, not to be confused with Sean Connery, basically. He made a comment to the media that President Trump was in good health. He was in good spirits. He looked good. He felt good. He would complete isolation tomorrow, and that he would have a COVID test today and a thorough examination. It was announced just a few moments ago that President Trump will address hundreds of people from the White House balcony on Saturday. Remember, the president said on a Hannity show last night on Fox News that he wanted to get back out on the campaign trail, that he wanted to go to maybe Pennsylvania, maybe Florida, and do it as early as this weekend. Well, now he has decided, and that's really hard. By the way, that's hard from a logistics point of view to put that all together in a short amount of time. If anyone can do it, it would be the Trump campaign and President Trump himself. But according to reports now, he is going to emerge from isolation tomorrow. He's going to give a speech from the White House balcony, and he will allow the public really their first glimpse in days as a leader recovering from the coronavirus. He'll be on with Tucker Carlson today. He's been doing media all day long. The guy's energy is obviously back. But hundreds of guests have been invited to the White House for tomorrow's event, despite concerns about the Rose Garden ceremony that may have acted as sort of this super spreader event for those people who were infected with coronavirus just like a week and a half ago. Now, Trump will not be close to the attendees. He'll be on the balcony, but of course, his critics are saying that the prospect of hosting another large gathering at the White House during the time of COVID-19 has already got his critics saying that this is a bad idea. So Nancy Pelosi takes to the podium today as Speaker of the House and says that maybe these decisions from President Trump are being impacted by the fact that he's been on the roids, like Hulk Hogan. He's been taking those steroids for his COVID-19, and they think, well, maybe he's mentally or physically incapacitated. And just what would we do if the president was incapacitated? Well, Nancy Pelosi, after engaging in investigation after investigation, using the full force of the House of Representatives to not only investigate the president, but to attempt to impeach the president, Nancy Pelosi said that she might use the 25th Amendment, that she'd form a commission to help provide additional oversight. This is what she said earlier this morning.
This is not about President Trump. He will face the judgment of the voters. But he shows the need for us to create a process for future presidents. Throughout America's history, our leaders have created and strengthened guardrails in the Constitution to ensure stability and continuity of government in times of crisis. The 25th Amendment creates a path for preserving stability if a president suffers a crippling physical or mental problem and is, unquote, in the amendment, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office and transfers his powers. Specifically, Section 4 of the amendment empowers Congress to set up an independent body to confront such a crisis.
That is a voice of Nancy Pelosi, who said the president may be incapable of carrying out his duties. She'd like to form a commission. And she says this isn't about Donald Trump. Oh, no. This, she says, is all about a future president. So that had me thinking when I heard it. I know it probably sunk in with a lot of you. President Trump heard the same thing. Newt Gingrich, Rush Limbaugh, several conservatives said, wait a second. If Nancy Pelosi is telling us this isn't about Trump, and she's saying it's about future presidents, could this be, could it be that this is her way to get Joe Biden out of office, to pave the road for the narrative that he would not be able to complete his term so that the left would get their president? And I'm talking about Senator Kamala Harris. The White House thinks that that is not impossible. They pounced all over Speaker Pelosi's talk on Friday. Many speakers, including the president, hitting her for her own mental fitness. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is not necessarily the picture of clean mental health. I mean, this is the lady who just laughs her way. Uncomfortably through just about everything. It's also the woman who promised us, who on Sunday morning, when she was talking to George Stephanopoulos, said, good morning, Sunday morning. It was like she was reminding us what day it was and that she needed to be rebooted. So Nancy Pelosi out there talking about people's mental health is sort of ironic all in itself. But Donald Trump took to Twitter and said, Crazy Nancy is looking at the 25th Amendment in order to replace Joe Biden with Kamala Harris. The Dems want that to happen fast because Sleepy Joe is out of it. What do you think about that? Could this all be about Joe Biden? Is this about the president, or is this the ultimate twofer where for Nancy Pelosi, it accomplishes the narrative of, or really accomplishes setting up a narrative that could benefit her on both fronts? Our phone number is 833-33-GORKA for you to chime in, 833-33-GORKA. And let's say hello to Ken in Arizona. Hi, Ken. You're on America First.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for holding.
I think that this is, you're exactly correct. I think it's a two for this reason. This is about President Harris, and this is also about if they lose, they can tie the president on medical issues up as much as Russia, Russia, Russia.
That's right. I really do think that this accomplishes a couple of things, Ken, in Arizona. I think that it is a very smart point that you're making, because think about what she's doing. And Nancy Pelosi actually has a tactic that she has admitted to using. And Chad, we actually have some audio of that, that if you're ready for it, we can play it. What she does is called a wrap-up smear. And Ken, I don't know if you've heard about this. Maybe you haven't heard that terminology, but a wrap-up smear is something that Nancy Pelosi says that she uses all the time as a tactic to take down her opposition. Now, in this case, her opposition would be President Trump, obviously. It creates the narrative in the media that he is mentally unstable, but it also starts a narrative that allows oversight, gets people comfortable with the idea of the 25th Amendment. And that means the Democrats could use it to take out Joe Biden at some point within the next 4 years if Joe Biden does win the presidency. And I have to tell you, knowing Kamala Harris like I do, as someone who has lived in the state of California my whole life and watched her, Kamala Harris is someone who is very far left. She goes after her goals completely, and she will not worry about stepping over people. Nancy Pelosi will absolutely use the narrative to get people comfortable with this, and Kamala Harris would slide right in and take over for Joe Biden. We'll talk about this tactic, this target of the smear that Nancy Pelosi has bragged about in the past, using against her political opponents. You'll hear her in her own words talking about what I think we're seeing unfolding right now. It happened just a few years ago. Plus your calls, 833-33-GORKA. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on America First.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
The Supreme Court, which just opened its new term on Monday, has only 8 justices on board due to the vacancy, which won't be filled until President Trump's nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, is confirmed by the Senate. But very soon, in fact, on November the 4th, the High Court will consider a dispute that impacts the religious liberty of a Philadelphia foster care agency that's been excluded from the city's foster care system simply because it objects on religious grounds to placing foster children with same-sex couples. The Alliance Defending Freedom is a nonprofit organization that you've heard us talking about, and it is the gold standard for defending religious freedom in America. ADF has litigated and achieved 11 victories at the U.S. Supreme Court since 2011, and ADF has played a big role in 60 victories at the High Court. Right now, I'm asking all of you to go to Sebastian Gorka's website at sebgorka.com to join him in supporting the Alliance Defending Freedom. Just click on the banner at the top of the page. Your single gift of $100 or more will help keep ADF on guard, protecting your rights, doing it in front of the Supreme Court or around the corner from your home, right in your neighborhood where it matters most. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner to make your gift today, or call 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888. Cast your early vote for freedom today by joining me, Seb Gorka, and freedom-loving Americans from coast to coast in stepping up to support Alliance Defending Freedom. 877-412-5888 or sebgorka.com. Before the break, we were talking about Nancy Pelosi and this new legislation that would essentially create a commission that would allow Congress to oust a president from office using the 25th Amendment. She did it a day after she accused President Trump of being in a, quote, altered state from his coronavirus treatment. Now, I've seen President Trump. I've heard him, actually. And I've heard him all day today on major media outlets. I've seen him and heard him on Sean Hannity's program. And the guy sounds pretty energetic to me. But Nancy Pelosi thinks he's in an altered state. She said on Friday, "This isn't about President Trump. He'll face the judgment of voters, but he shows the need for us to create a process for future presidents." Now, Nancy Pelosi is not a dummy. She knows that we are 25 days until Election Day. She knows that the American people are going to get to decide whether or not President Trump is an appropriate choice. So why now? Why now would she be talking about the 25th Amendment? And my answer is that it really is a twofer. It's about President Trump and the fact that she can smear him a little bit more for being mentally unstable. But could it really be that she's looking for a plan to oust Joe Biden so that the Democrats, the DNC, will finally get President Kamala Harris? Now, during the primaries, very early on, if you would have asked me who I thought the candidate would have been, I would have said it was Kamala Harris. Not that she's likable, not that she gets a lot of enthusiasm from people, but the DNC loves her. She is a darling of the Democrats' National Committee. People love Kamala Harris because she checks multiple boxes in the eyes of the DNC. And there's something different between the Democrats' party and the Republicans' party. The DNC is run completely different from the RNC. In the RNC, there's actually freedom to have candidates get picked by the people. But the DNC likes to be heavy-handed in helping, and I put air quotes around that, in helping Americans make their selection. I would just remind you about Hillary Clinton and just how far in the tank the DNC was to get her elected. They were devastated when they saw that Bernie Sanders was popular and that his message was catching on. They were surprised. They were just as surprised as I was, probably, just as surprised as you were. Because they were in the tank for Hillary Clinton. Donna Brazile handing her those notes. Donna Brazile, the former chair of the DNC, getting questions from the debate that she slipped to Hillary Clinton. Because the DNC likes to stay involved. They don't trust their voters to elect a nominee. And so they get involved. And Kamala Harris, if you had asked me months ago who I thought it would be her. That's why when Joe Biden picked his vice presidential candidate, I knew that it was going to be Kamala Harris. Because the DNC gets involved. They make their picks. They slide them in. And this seems like the natural progression, really, to bring in the candidate that they really wanted all along. Now, Nancy Pelosi has admitted to using what's called a rap smear campaign. If you haven't heard about that, it's about putting out false information and then basically deflecting. You make something up, then you have the press write about it, and then you say everybody is writing about this charge. They did it with Kavanaugh during Kavanaugh's hearings. They did it with the Russia scandal. That's how they built a case against Trump, using the media writing a smear. If you don't believe me, Nancy Pelosi, in her own words, admitting this on camera just a couple of years ago.
You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it. And they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation.
The left always tells you what you need to know. You just need to listen. Your phone call's next. 833-33-GORKA. Jennifer Horn in for Sebastian Gorka on America First.
Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thanks, Dr. Gorka. Folks, we are weeks away from Election Day, but voting has already started. 6 million votes already cast in some states across the country, and it is about to start in others. If you live in Ohio, did you know that early in-person voting begins 28 days before the election? In Arizona, it's 27. That's why I need you to know and check out KeepAmericaAmerica.com and do it right now. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. They'll get you the most trusted, up-to-date voting information. While you're there, please commit to take one person to the polls, just one, or help them complete a mail-in ballot. This is so important. This election is so consequential. The 2016 election was decided by thousands of votes, not millions, and 300,000 of you across the country have already gone to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I want to see that number reach 1 million, and I know Seb does too. Make this the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history. One, the liberal media just won't be able to ignore. Do a little, do a lot, but do your part. Go to keepamericaamerica.com right now. That's keepamericaamerica.com. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on America First. Been a lot of fun hanging out with you guys. A lot of news. President Trump releasing some remarks today. He's a little bit upset. The Durham investigation, which I think many conservatives were waiting for, that information to come out. The investigation of the investigators has not been delayed, but will not be ready, the report at least, before Election Day. President Trump, and rightly so, I think, wanted that report to come out before Election Day, not because of the impact on the vote, but because Americans have the right to know. They have the right to know what evidence we've already seen, the evidence that's been redacted this week, the evidence that we saw that John Brennan, the CIA director, briefed President Obama about Hillary Clinton buying fraudulent information and putting it together in a dossier that was sent over to the Department of Justice. They all knew it was fake, yet they still went on what was such a waste of taxpayer money. Lots of investigations using the full power of the United States government and law enforcement to go after a political opponent. This is the greatest scandal of our lifetime. And the Democrats knew about this. They knew it was happening. President Trump, a little bit upset today that that information will not be made available for voters before Election Day, even calling out Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Attorney General William Barr. The question is, are they doing enough to get this information in the hands of the American people before they cast their very important vote on November the 3rd? I'm talking a lot about that. Of course, the 25th Amendment, President Trump having a big campaign event at the White House starting tomorrow. Let's take a few of your phone calls. Stanley is in Los Angeles on line two. Hi, Stanley.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Doing quite well. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I was calling about two things. I don't think Nancy can do anything about a commission. She'll never get support from the Senate for it. I think you're right. She's just making noise at this point. And the second one is, I wonder if Lindsey Graham should admonish the senators that it's against the Constitution to have any religious testing of a candidate. And he would rule them out of order if they bring up any religious issues.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if he does that. Stanley, thank you for the phone call. And I think that next week's hearing, it's going to look a lot different than Justice Kavanaugh. But you are going to have Democrats pushing her at every turn on her faith. And they are going to try and get her to commit to making decisions with hypothetical cases. Now, think back in history when RBG was getting confirmed, they asked her to do the same thing and she refused because the job of a jurist, of a judge, of a Supreme Court justice is to take these cases literally case by case and apply the law as directly as you possibly can. But it will be interesting to see Lindsey Graham and what he does. He's in a very tight race right now in his home state of South Carolina. And just how hard will he come out? I think he'll probably come out swinging because I think that's how he thinks he will not only get the best attention for himself politically, but also what would be best for the authenticity and the honesty of the process. And as far as the Senate goes, there's no way at this moment that that commission from Nancy Pelosi would go through and approve something like that. But we are just an election away from major changes in the Senate, a balance of power shift. And of course, Nancy Pelosi always is looking to build the narrative, right? Build that yellow brick road to her ultimate destination. Stanley, thanks for the phone call. Jim in San Antonio, you're on America First. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Jennifer. Really enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
Dr. Gorka hits a home run putting you on the air in his place. So
oh, thank you,
job.
Jim. Thank you.
Bet. So
your check's in the mail, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. I've heard that before. So, you know, why doesn't Nancy Pelosi put a stipulation on her little 25th Amendment emboldenment and apply the Speaker of the House to that standard and have drug testing every day for him? I'd like to have her alcohol tested every day. She wouldn't.
What
pass.
Are you talking about? I don't think. You know, come on, now, Jim. You think he really drinks?
We're going to get the first
Are you sure?
Your words naturally.
One martini, two martini, three martini floor. And by floor, we mean the floor of the House of Representatives. You know, I actually had a conversation with someone today. Actually, my liberal co-host on The Morning Answer, Brian Whitman, we were having it out about drug testing, about President Trump asking Joe Biden to get drug tested. And I said, why not? If you're running for president of the United States, or if you're running for Congress or the Senate, why wouldn't you get drug tested? I have no problem with that. You have to get drug tested to work at UPS. Why wouldn't we do that to someone holding the most important position in the land? Why wouldn't that be a bad idea? I think it's not a bad idea at all.
Thank you. Absolutely right. You got that. Great show. Right. Really enjoy it.
Thank you, Jim. That's Jim in San Antonio. Your calls. It's Friday. We're trying to have some fun here. A lot of news this week. We're going through all the big stories. Nancy Pelosi, the 25th Amendment, of course, that was the big story today. President Trump also making an announcement. He'll hold a campaign event at the White House. He'll be speaking to Americans from the balcony. Your thoughts on that? 833-33-GORKA is how you connect. That's 833-33-GORKA. You can follow Seb on Twitter at Seb Gorka, and you can visit the website, sebgorka.com. And if you like it, follow me on Twitter as well, at Jennifer Horn. We'll have your phone calls and do a full wrap-up as America First continues. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
Thanks for joining us on America First. I'm Jennifer Horn, so honored to fill in for my friend Dr. Sebastian Gorka. We'll actually be together next weekend. He's coming to Southern California. We're doing a big town hall event, and you can actually stream it. You can stream it. If you go to am870.info, you can actually get the information if you want to see him on stage with some greats, Charlie Kirk and Dennis Prager and Larry Elder. It'll be a whole lot of fun. So make sure you check that out. Also want to remind you to check out sebgorka.com. Follow Seb on Twitter at Seb Gorka. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Jennifer Horn. And it's Friday, so we are going to open it up. Your thoughts. Everything we talked about today is fair game. We're going to start with line number five. Vinny is in Minnesota. Hi, Vinny.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for taking my call. Pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, I think you were dead on about the left's whole intent to kind of shoehorn Kamala Harris into the presidency through this whole 25th Amendment thing. And I think Nancy may have overplayed her hand a little bit by showing what their true intent was behind this.
Yeah, I don't think, you know what's really funny? Couple of things. I think Nancy Pelosi is really smart, but she also really hates Donald Trump. And I think she's also really hateful of Republicans who support him. Because remember, it's not our party that has split. She's dealing with a really bad situation right now. She's dealing with a party that is fractured between the socialist Democrats and the more moderate Democrats. Republicans have all coalesced, for the most part at least, behind President Trump. So she's dealing with that split. She's got to figure out how to make this work and to make both of these groups happy. And that makes her angry because it's political acrobats. So she totally is going after this. She's mad that she got caught because I think she didn't realize that it was so glaringly obvious what she was doing when she was telling us her plan for rolling this whole thing out. It's almost entertaining that what she used to be able to get away with, she can't. And the cherry on top is that President Trump calls her out on it because she forgets that she has an opponent with backbone that is going to call her out on all of this stuff. Vinny, thank you so much for the phone call. John is in San Diego on line four. Hi, John.
Hi, Jennifer.
First of all, I have to apologize to you. This is a sorry but not sorry. The Dodgers beat the Padres. They're advancing in the world to the division playoffs. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry that we beat the Padres, but you know, there's healing in that.
Well, that's okay. I'm done with all sports the last couple of years.
Boycotting. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, this really has nothing to do with Biden. The current structure of enacting the 25th Amendment is perfectly satisfactory for a legitimate removal. What she's trying to do is set up a commission that will pretend to be bipartisan, but it will be Democrats and
Trumpers. John, you're so right about that. We're out of time, but you're right. She's going to try to stack the deck in favor of getting this thing done. John in San Diego, thank you so much for the phone call. And thank all of you for hanging out with us. Seb will be back next week. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Eric. This is America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Happy Friday.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.